message from the Good Friday Evening Service, and it's entitled, It is Finished, the Beginning of the New Kingdom. There's a slight audio glitch very early in the sermon, and we are using a new microphone, so it might sound a little bit different. Please bear with us while we're getting this all sorted out. The reading is from John 19, 28-30. Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that Scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, It is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Thank you, everyone, for being with us tonight. If you're visiting with us, you may not have heard this before. I think most people, finished. He was not referring to death, that he's about to die. I am finished. He is saying all things in the past are complete. They are finished. They're done. And sins are forgiven. That on the cross, he was bearing the sin of all humankind. So if you go back to the beginning, when God created all things, and at the end of it, he said, it is finished. The world exploded with growth. And on the cross, as Jesus bore the sins of all humankind, and he said, it is finished, a new world was born, though very few people, if anyone, knew it. From that time forward, a new world started. And so Paul would say things like, I determined to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's interesting to note that Jesus could have chosen any time for this death to take place, but he chose the Passover to be the time when he would die. And many of us remember from our Sunday school lessons what happened at Passover. We go way back into history, and when Israel was under captivity, and then the great escape was going to take place, but there would be blood that would be put on the door mantle of all the Israelites. And that night, a death angel came through, but would not touch the home of an Israelite where the blood was there. The death angel passed over. And Jesus chose Passover as the festival where he would come and he would be the blood sacrifice for all people of all time. It's profound what Jesus waited to do, and it's more profound what he did. So Peter will say these things. You know, it's not with perishable things such as silver or gold that we have been redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to us by our forefathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus, a lamb without spot and without blemish. And when Paul was talking to the Corinthians, it seemed like when you read Corinthians, he just always is bringing us back to the significance of the cross. He said, now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of this gospel, which I preached to you, which you believed and on which you now take your stand. By this gospel, you're saved if you hold firmly to these things I preach to you. Otherwise, you believed in vain. For what I received from the Lord, I passed on to you as first importance, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, appearing to many. And so when the crucifixion takes place, and even though Jesus had reminded his disciples that this was going to happen, they still couldn't believe it. They couldn't wrap their arms around it. And then the great event takes place of his resurrection a few days later. And of course, on Sunday, we'll be talking about that. But they were still trying to wrestle with everything, and they were amazed, and they were trying to comprehend everything that was taking place. And through the help of God's Holy Spirit, whom we have as well, helping us, driving us toward more and more faith, they became bold in their faith, whereat a few weeks before they were hiding. Now they have this boldness of it doesn't matter if someone takes our life. We're going to preach this gospel because of what Jesus said. Everything's finished. It's done. Everything is now new. Come and celebrate this great event that has taken place for all of us. And so, what used to be cowering disciples stand up with boldness and they preach and they say these words. Acts chapter 4 is an interesting passage. It says this, after Peter and John were told, don't preach about this Jesus anymore, and they were arrested and then released, says this. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all to the chief priests and the elders when what they had said to them. And when they heard this, they raised their voices in prayer to God, saying, Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. And then he quotes from Psalm 2. And here's what Psalm 2 says. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. A direct quote from Psalm 2. And at Christmas time, if you like Handel's Messiah, they sing of this in Psalm 2. Let me read to you exactly from Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain, and I will proclaim, he said to me, today you are my son, and I am your father, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. You will break them with a rod of iron. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. How in the world did Jesus do that? He did it by saying, I'm the sacrifice. I'm the sacrifice. And it is finished. Meaning, a new world has just begun. It's powerful that we are part of all of this. I don't know if you've ever heard of Cardinal Jean-Marie Lustiger, interesting name, Archbishop of Paris from 1980 to 2005. He tells the story about three Jewish boys always wanting to get into this beautiful Catholic church, but were always afraid whether or not they would be welcome or not. And they were teenage boys, and they thought it would be cool if we could sneak in. And of course, they were allowed to be in there. And they went in, but instead of enjoying the beauty and the serenity and the spirituality of some of the great paintings and some of the great monuments that were there, in fact, there was a statue of the cross and Jesus on the cross. And they started to throw hymn books around and so forth. They didn't know that the bishop was in the church. And the bishop was a no-nonsense man. And really, grabbing them by the scruff of the necks, three teenagers, which is not an easy thing to do, and he did, brought them into the office and sat them down. And he said to the three of them, you're not leaving this church until you do penance. And here's the penance. I want you to go to that statue, to that Jesus, and I want you to say to him, these things. And I want you to say it three times. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look into the face of that statue and say, Jesus Christ, you died for me, and I don't care. And the boys thought, well, that would be an interesting penance. And so the three boys went to the statue, and two of them ran out of the church and didn't do their penance. But this one young boy decided that he would do it. He looked up into the face of Jesus and said, Jesus Christ, you died for my sins, and I don't care. And he looked into the face again. And he said, Jesus Christ, you died for me, and I don't care. And he said the third time, and he couldn't do it. And on the spot, he realized, what have I been doing? This Jesus, I have to get to know him. And Cardinal Jean-Marie Lustiger said, I know that boy, because that boy was me. It was me. And from that time forward, he dedicated himself totally and completely to Jesus Christ, knowing that the greatest event that has ever happened in the world was for him. And he gave himself to Christ. It's interesting to note, too, in Scripture that sometimes we get the idea that God condemned Jesus on the cross. God never left Jesus. God did not condemn Jesus. God condemned sin, and Jesus bore it. In Romans 8, he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful humanity to be a sin offering. And then it says this, and so he condemned sin in flesh, in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who did not live according to the nature. And so Christ took care of that for us. And because of this, there is a profound result. And I finish with this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, a powerful passage, but maybe we don't think of it in these terms. But thinking of the cross specifically, I'd like you to notice 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50, here's what he says. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the perishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, die, but we'll be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Jesus said, it is finished. Death has been swallowed up in victory. His death for all of us. So where, O death, is your victory? Where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? How? Because he said, it is finished. And he gave himself for us. In conclusion, it just overwhelmed me these past few weeks. What's our part in all of this? Well, we receive forgiveness, but it's more than that. Here's what I wrote: that God created us to be His image-bearing creatures, designed to stand at the threshold between heaven and earth to reflect God's loving care in creation itself. If we can see Jesus on the cross, giving His life for us and saying, "It is finished," and a new world starts, that we can surely respond by saying, "Thank you. What can we do? We will, to the best of our ability, be your representatives, be your image bearers, standing in the gap for the rest of our lives because you've given yourself for us." Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.